Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boy Flip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Awesome.
Good crowd.
Cheering and trying to generate a little bit of friction so they can see. It's dark now.
Yes, it is. I'm just thinking about that before. I was like, wait a minute, I usually be able to look out that window and see something.
Yeah.
Now it's weird. I don't see any time change.
See your reflection from the window back at you. That's all.
That's right. It's dark out there. We're back to
dark.
Regular time, I guess it is. Eastern time.
Yeah,
not
it
Eastern
is.
Daylight. No, daylight time Eastern. Ended. Okay. I get
right.
Those
Eastern
confused.
Standard time.
Yes. All right. Sounds
and
good.
Tampa set a new record for heat today for the month of November and for this date. We hit 91 officially today. Yeah.
Wow. Is anyone getting cold weather? You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're out. They're getting snow in the mountains in California. Southern California mountains are getting snow. They're getting cold weather actually west of the Rockies. It's been pretty cold from what I can see. But the eastern the jet stream has dipped way down into the Arizona and back up. And it's just now starting to move a little bit further south. It's been pretty warm all across the eastern part of the United States, but it's getting colder, or not cooler, colder for us, cooler for them. And it's starting to get cold. Winter's starting to attack some areas now, but we're looking at this weather for another week, they're saying, before we start cooling any bit. So come and visit us in Florida if you want to break away early from your cold weather up north. Now's the time to start heading down here and snowbirds and all that stuff.
And the weather doesn't rain every other day like it does during the summer. So we have clear, pretty much clear, partly cloudy skies every day now. So it's been really nice.
And it is. I mean, it's just it's not afternoon storms or anything. You're right. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So come on down. And
come on down
this weekend. Come on down this weekend because you have a huge event coming up this weekend, November 7th. Yeah, so we'll cover that. I don't know if you want to, I mean, I got the page here, but we can cover that whenever. But I know you have a lot of information, but a lot of things going on at the winery on November 7th. You want to, we'll tell you about that. And no class. Next class is a week from Sunday. So on the 15th will be the next wine class. But we'll tell you about the big event this weekend, and you definitely want to come out. So make travel arrangements now. Call whatever favorite airline you need to, and come on down.
Trivago?
Is it? I don't know.
The above statement was not a paid endorsement of Trivago. It's just that's the one I thought of.
Forgot about that. Kayak, orbits, any of them.
And I missed last week. I got to tell everybody about the reason. We didn't have a show last week. I had my toes operated on. My daughter had both her little toes operated on, had corns removed. And she said it's the best thing she ever did. It was great. It was wonderful. And I have a corn on my foot and on my right toe and little toe. And she said, Dad, you have to do it. You have to do it. It's the best thing in the whole wide world. It's so much better. You don't have to worry about pain in the shoe and all that. So I asked the doctor, and she said, yeah, we can get you in. She said, and you also got a little hammer toe here on the next little toe. We can get that fixed, too. I said, okay, great, wonderful. And so they scheduled me in, and last Wednesday I had the surgery, and I was telling Mike before the program, recovery was fairly easy. I was a little loopy on pain pills, though, and that's why I didn't do the show Thursday. But the worst part of the whole thing was the Novocaine shot they gave me. They gave me three, two on the top of my foot, and the one on the bottom of my foot was so painful, so excruciatingly painful that, you know, I mean, it was just, oh, man. So
did your sister warn you about that? Did she say, oh, it's great, you know, you got to get this
my
done?
My daughter?
But
No,
that's what it was. I'm sorry.
It was my daughter. And no, she did not. She did not say anything about the shot on the bottom of the foot. And, and she got both of them done, you know, I mean, really.
No way.
She
must have had something else done. They must
have
put her out.
It may have. They very possibly may have. But she got both of them done. And, you know, I mean, when I left there, though, I mean, the Novocaine was still on my foot. I just walked right on out of the hospital, and we walked out to the car and got in the car and everything. And I said, how long is this going to last? And they said, about 3-4 hours. Well, you know, why do they have to give you so much Novocaine to last for, you know, it was like 5 hours. If it hurt that much, why didn't they cut back on it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But that was painful. The shot in the bottom of the foot was painful. So, but it's recovering now. In fact, I saw the doctor day before yesterday, Tuesday, and I was all optimistic. I took my flip-flops in with me so I can be walking out with my flip-flops and all that. And she thought that was rather cute because she said, you still got at least 2 more weeks of recovery to go. And so, you know, I know. I'm walking on with this boot on my foot, and I'm not supposed to take it off if I walk. I'm supposed to walk with a boot. You know, but the pain's pretty much gone now. But the shower, I can't take it off. I can't get it wet. So I wrap a garbage bag around and rubber bands and then tie it in a knot and all that other stuff. And she says, put a towel around your leg. And you know, it's just, oh, man. I'm so over this. I really am so over this. I want to just get back to being just a normal
person. Since you've gone through it now, if you had, let's say you had one on the other foot, knowing that you'd have to go through that shot again and all that other stuff, would you would skip it, or are you just
I would skip it. If I known that shot was going to be like that, I would not have gotten this one done. I would have continued to wear form pads or whatever the rest of my life instead of going through that shot again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It hurt. It hurt.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me make a note of this. I got to put this on my phone.
Yeah, make a mental note of this, everyone. You know, unless it's really, really bad, don't do it. Yeah.
Cut your own toe off. Less painful.
There you go.
Than...
there you go. Better than the shot on the bottom of the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really. Unbelievable pain.
Yeah.
It's really, but I'm recovering. I'm walking around now. I can't take the boot off. She says still two more weeks, which, you know, I'm ready to play golf. I can't play golf. I can't, you know, I need to do some bottling at the winery. And, you know, I told her, I said, I could do some bottling. She says, can it wait? And I said, well, I can. And she says, well, then wait. She says, you know, you shouldn't be moving stuff around and all that. And all. So, oh, man, I am so over this. I really am. I'm ready to move on with this. So, but
well,
enough of my whining like a little baby here. Yeah.
Whining, I get it.
Transition there.
Yeah, good transition.
Good transition. Okay, well, time for our monthly real estate section, and we don't have real estate music, so... We'll just, you know, go right into it. I keep saying we need to find some sort of music to play for real estate, but that's okay.
I don't know of any music for real estate.
I don't either. I don't know of anything. The only thing I keep thinking of, my engineer said, you know, the Jefferson's Moving On Up, but.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's copyrighted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, you know, would kick us off. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So, we'll see. Oh, by the way, congratulations, Kansas City Royals, for the World Series win. And also, and I have to point this out too, I am from Kansas City, and I was very, very proud of the city of Kansas City for not rioting, for not doing anything that is really idiotic after winning a World Series title, which a lot of cities do. So,
yep.
Thumbs up to you guys and all of the city of Kansas City for, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
For not being...
That's great.
Not
you know,
being,
you can be a sports fan and be sportsmanlike and have a good time and not resort to, like you said, things that other certain cities do if they win or lose. And I think I commented on your post on that. I'm not going to say the city now, but... It's like every time they have a game, they have to overturn cars, burn buildings, and it's like, why?
Why?
Why can't you just,
why?
Hey, our team won, our team lost, whatever. You know,
yeah.
Enjoy the moment, you know. Don't sit there and destroy your town because of that.
Doesn't make sense. There's no reason for that, yeah. And I was very proud of Kansas City, how they reacted. I mean, they're saying 800,000 people gathered on the streets to watch the parade. And I just saw a thing. The Kansas City Star, if anyone wants to check it out, the Kansas City Star has a camera mounted on Mustoko's car during the parade, and it shows the route they took and all that stuff. But it's just like the streets they went down. It was quite a long parade. I mean, the actual thing took, I think, a half hour. But everybody on the side of the streets was dressed in blue, which is, of course, but they were like, 10 people deep on both sides, the entire parade route. Plus, they had thousands and thousands of people at the end of the parade. It was, you know, really, really amazing. And the only thing that was a problem was the traffic. So, you know, I mean, yeah, and that's going to happen. But, you know, very proud of Kansas City, very proud to be a Kansas Cityan at birth because of how they conducted themselves after this. It's, you're right. There's no reason to burn down your city because you won and or lost a sporting event. And so, So I'm just, you know, again, congratulations, Kansas City, on your win. And maybe next year we can say that to the Rays. Who knows? Hope springs eternal.
So what's the show about? I forgot.
Yeah, we're 15 minutes into it. Wine.
Break it up. We broke it up.
Yeah, here we go. Wine. All right. Oh, I hope everyone had a great Halloween, too, as far as that goes. We didn't get to wish y'all a safe Halloween last week because we didn't do a show, so hope it was a good Halloween. Again, I you missed it, Mike. The reason I tell people, and I told everyone, the reason I'm always telling everybody what holidays are coming up or what's happening in the future and stuff like that is because it gives you a good excuse to have wine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, it's Halloween, let's have wine. Or, oh,
that's
it's
right.
Columbus Day, let's have wine. Or,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's Labor Day, let's have wine. Or Patriot
yeah.
Day, whatever, you know. And
yep.
it just, that's why I'm always announcing the holidays and different things coming up, because in that way, you can have wine. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, Veterans Day coming up next Wednesday. So, again, thank you, all of you veterans, for your service, and have wine. Oh.
Maybe when you get your boot taken off, we'll have Ron's, you know, corn surgery is over with day.
Yeah,
and,
there you
have
go.
Wine. We'll
like
have
that.
Wine that day.
Have wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. See, that's the reason right
Anything.
There. So that it works for me. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it really works for me. So, all right. Real estate. Got some real estate for you here. If you, again, as always, if you are interested in these, email me, call, any number of ways you can get in touch with me, and I will forward you to the proper authorities to find out more about it and, you know, get you into a winery if you're so inclined. First one, California Winery Vineyard and Brand. It says, premium California winery, vineyard, established brand with 90-plus scores. Now, you know, I don't know who's giving those scores, so that's a little iffy, but scalable, established DTC and national distribution, DTC being direct to customer, A-plus location, real estate assets. Buyer profile is required. It's more than $20 million, but less than $50 million, so... That gives you a working range there, I guess. But
wow.
If you're interested, yeah, I know. That's, but if it's a national distribution and they're actually already doing it, that, you know, could pay for itself there. But between 20 and 50 million is the cost. And buyer profile requires you got to submit a profile of yourself so they can be sure you are suitable for it. Oregon Vineyard and Winery for sale. A successful winery for sale due to owner's retirement. The licensed winery facility and 10,000 cases of wine inventory are all for sale. And that includes 12 acres of vineyards for lease located in Eugene, Oregon. Ohio River Valley AVA. Boy, we're moving across country here. Ohio River Valley AVA Winery and B&B. Southeastern Indiana Winery and Bed and Breakfast. The grapes include Crimson Cabernet, Noret, Foch, Sauval, Cayuga, Niagara, Vignol, Vidal, Rougon, Gruner Wittländer. The buildings include a winery tasting room, 6,000 square foot B&B with 6 bedrooms, 6.5 baths, 2 guest houses, and equipment storage. Wow, sounds like a good deal if you want to live in Ohio. That's, you know, and Southern Ohio is a real nice place. Or Indiana, I said Ohio River Valley, but it's in Indiana. Southern Indiana is a real nice place. I've been there quite a few times over my life, and beautiful areas there, and little rolling hills and stuff, and just north of the Ohio River there. Nice place. Rancho de Amor Vineyard and Winery. 10-acre with tasting room, winery, building, barn, event area. Merlot and Sauvignon Blanc. Includes a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath house with a greenhouse and a cottage. $695,000. And this is, I believe, in the foothills of California there. So, That's not a bad price either, $695,000. For lease, if you're looking at leasing, for lease available immediately, is the office and warehouse in Santa Rosa, Airport Business Center. So if it's right next to the Kendall Jackson property. So if you're interested in that, that is available there also. And then we got Winery Vineyard Estate with B&B. This is different. Successful boutique winery and bed and breakfast combination at the gateway to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks. Great place. 20 acres, plus or minus 10 acres of unique varietals. Didn't list what they are. All permits in place, allowing for food service and special events. Ample water, which is important in California now. Active wine club and tasting room. California is big on wine clubs. There's, you know, more so than anywhere else. You go out to California and they're always promoting their wine clubs, but it's a great thing to do because, you know, you got the built-in sales there. Active wine club and tasting room. Award-winning wines. Turnkey operation with all fixtures and inventory. Consulting winemaker interested in continuing. So you've got your winemaker right there. So you don't have to be a winemaker to do this. He is willing to stay there and work with you. Great opportunity for a career change or a couple wanting to strike out on their own. And it's in the North County areas there. So great opportunity. No price is given or anything. If you're interested, get in touch. I would be more than happy to pass on the information. But this is... you don't have to be a winemaker to do this. You can step into this thing and start getting stuff taken care of right away. Here you go. Premium Napa Valley AVA Vineyard. Napa Valley AVA, a private retreat and spectacular setting with a major price reduction. 109 plus or minus acres, 35 plus or minus acres planted to vineyard, 30 plus or minus acres additional plantable. Potential winery site. Now, again, this isn't a winery. It's just planted acres. 5,000. Oh, maybe. Well, no, it's got residence, but no winery. 5,000 plus or minus square foot main residence. 5,000, that's rather large. 1,500 square foot guest home. That's as big as most people's houses. A barn. An apartment. Another barn. Equipment, horses, vineyard office, 5.3 plus or minus surface acre lake. So you got a 5.3 acre lake. Private, spectacular views from the vineyard is located in the Napa Valley Appellation. Wines made from this vineyard have received numerous awards and accolades. The unique microclimate provides very desirable fruit characteristics. The premium vineyard consists of approximately 35 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Additional potential vineyard land is available. Easily accessed from Highway 80. No price listed if you have to ask. You can't afford it. But that is exciting place there. And it's not a winery now. You got it's growing and all that. But, you know, you can... I'm sure get permitted for a winery since you already have everything else there. I'm sure that Napa will permit you for a winery. Winery B&B Taste Room and Vineyard. This is 20 plus acres, 14 acre vineyard with a two-story custom home in the middle of all the wineries and tasting rooms. It doesn't tell you in the middle of what wineries and tasting room, but from the person who's running this ad, he usually has it in the foothills, so maybe in the Sierra foothills of California. There's another one, vineyard land lease price reduction. 30 plus or minus acres of flat, cleared land for long-term lease in prime Russian River, Green Valley, Appalachians of Sonoma County. If you've never been to Sonoma, it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. No price, no information, but the price has been reduced. Let's go up the coast to Eastern Washington Winery. Approximately 26,000 square feet, plus tasting room and spacious grass grounds with panoramic views. Award-winning wines, 50,000 case capacity. Sales price, $3.5 million. Adjacent vineyard also available with many varietals. So let me know if you're interested in that. 3.5 million, but that's, you know, Eastern Washington, great area there. Vineyard for sale, 38-acre farm with mature vineyards. Vujade, and I'm sure that is not Deja Vu, it's Vujade Winery. Home, two barns, three-car garage, two solar-powered wells with 100% mineral rights included. I wonder why you would have to have the 100% mineral rights. I wonder why that's so important that that has to be listed. I don't know. 23,000 square foot of the finest warehouse space in the best warehouse distribution hub of Santa Rosa. Building is permitted for winery, wine storage, and other spirits. A motivated landlord. So if you're looking for a place to just open up a winery, there you go. Somerset Vineyard Value, 70 acres, 32 acres planted in Syrah, Zinfandel, Petit Syrah, Vignier, Cab, off of Fairplay Road frontage. There's an ag building, taste room, and a pond for $1,095,000. There's one in Sonoma, 49 acres, two homes with views, pool, 32.4-acre vineyard, and the Dry Creek AVA. This is in, again, in the hills area. Russian River Valley Winery for sale. This is operating a 5,000 case boutique, Russian River Valley Winery, tasting room, and 8 vineyard acres in residence. Fully permitted and operating for 7 years. This is an ideal opportunity for the right label, winemaker, and or emerging winery group to secure a perfect setup in this world-famous AVA. So Russian River Valley AVA. The way the climate is warming, though, that might not be an ideal spot. And Napa Valley Winery for sale. State-of-the-art, complete 10,000 square foot winery, 30,000 gallon permit, 24 acres, plus or minus acreage planted in Cabernet Sauvignon, tours and tasting, commercial kitchen, 4,000 square foot outdoor patio. And that's in Napa. So there you go. Those are our real estate for this month. And we need to have some ending music for this. So, interested, again, call us or email either the All About Wine or the winery, Florida State Winery, or any number of ways you can get in touch. And we will get you the information so that you can pursue this if you so desire. Got some other few little things, odds and ends for you here. Using grape waste as biofuel. And speaking of biofuel, I saw a sign at the gas station the other day, which, you know, basically sign of the times. Put this on my personal Facebook page. But I went by a gas station. Gas prices here and around this area are $1.98, $1.96, $2.02, stuff like that. That's, you know, about around $1.98. Went by a gas station the other day, and it said, no ethanol fuel. In other words, there was no, that 10% ethanol added to it. No ethanol fuel, no added ethanol for $4.38 a gallon or $4.39 a gallon. And I thought, whoa, you know, but ethanol will eat up small engines. It tears them up. It eats up the rubbers and the gaskets and the carburetors when you use ethanol. That's why they sell that little stuff to put in your gas when you are going to use them for lawnmowers or chainsaws or pressure washers or any of that stuff. You have this stuff you add to your gas that dissipates the ethanol or neutralizes it. I don't know, whatever it does. But now they're selling non-ethanol fuel, but it's like, wow, over 100% more, about 120% more than what gas is actually going for. So, I don't know. I saw that. But using grape waste as biofuel. The grape waste created by winemaking process could hold renewable energy potential. They said that a new study shows bioethanol can be created by fermenting the skins, stalks, and seeds left over from the production process. Now you're using corn now. Now, you know, talking about using the must and all that. The research, which was published in Bioresource Technology in the magazine, shows that fermenting 1 ton of grape waste can produce up to 400 liters of bioethanol when pretreated with acid and enzymes. So, that's, you know, 400, that's, you know, you start adding that to it, that's could be in a potent, you know, and you're, a lot of it's just fed to hogs anyway, so maybe. Noting that the wine industry produces around 13 million tons of organic waste per year, most of which must be disposed of at a cost to the winery, the researchers expect that the new process could help improve access to renewable fuels while cutting waste management expenses. I like it, you know. I mean, if you can, you know, save money on that stuff. I, you know, like I say, you know, we just give ours to hog farmers around, and they love it. But yeah, you know, you can, if you can make biofuel out of it, good for them. Vintage Wine Estates acquires the Swanson Vineyards. The Santa Rosa, California Vintage Wine Estates just announced last week, that they purchased Sonoma Valley's B.R. Cohn Winery back in July. They said their family owned and operated, and they're very proud to be able to pick up this. And they said the Swanson Vineyards can certainly be counted among the most respected winery family names in Napa Valley. They are makers including Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Sangiovese, Zinfandel, Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay. Also make some fortified wines, Angelica and Rosato. The varietals are located on Oakville Estate, and they said that the name will continue to be Swanson Vineyards for the foreseeable future, and because it has an established name, no financial terms were disclosed, which you can understand. But if you, they're eating them up. Everybody's eating everybody up now. This is something that I found rather interesting. Demand for wine packaging in the United States is projected to increase 4.4% annually. 4.4% annually to $3.0 billion in 2019. This is from a new study by a group called the Fredonia Group. They said the advances will be spurred by increasing disposable personal incomes and the changing alcoholic beverage preference of younger consumers, particularly millennials. Glass bottles will continue to dominate in the volumes and in value. And wine closure opportunities will be driven by rising packaged wine production, with changes in the container mix causing a big variety of closures and different types of packaging. I am still looking for, and I have not found, a paperboy, the wine paperboy. I'm always out there. Different wineries and stuff. Oh, not wineries, different wine stores. And nobody has Paperboy. I don't know why. I hope it's just, I just want it so I can see it. That's all. Maureen Downey, named the Sherlock Holmes of Wine by Bloomberg, announces the launch of winefraud.com. Okay, this is the first of its kind resource for vendors, buyers, and producers of fine wine. The aim of the site, they're saying, is to raise awareness of wine fraud and counterfeiting issues in the wine trade and among consumers. and also to educate his members on the core principles of wine authentication. With the ultimate goal in the end to end the counterfeiting and fraud of wine and to make it more transparent and authentic global wine marketplace. So check that out. It is winefraud.com, winefraud.com, winefraud.com. I honestly haven't looked up the site. I just noticed this article a couple of days ago, and I haven't been to it yet. Winefraud.com. And so let me put this notes away and let me get out my next note here. And oh, I know what I was going to talk to you about. This a article that I saw, we just mentioned fraud, wine fraud. And this is where is it? There it is. Wine fraud. Let's see.
I went to, when you mentioned Paperboy Wines, I went to go see if I could find them someplace locally. I went to their website, and it has their logo in the background, and it says, "To our fans, thank you for your support of Paperboy Wines and our efforts to save the planet. Unfortunately, we have had to suspend our efforts due to the bottle manufacturer's inability to meet our quality control standards in the production of our paper bottle." It says, "We are hopeful that these issues can be resolved such that we can get back into production soon. We'll let you know when we expect to get the next edition out. Best wishes, Paperboy Wines." They're out of California. I guess they suspended their operation for now.
No wonder I haven't known if I had didn't notice. I didn't go to their website, not thinking that anything was an issue. So,
I was expecting a little link like where to buy, and I was going, "Oh, okay, I'll just find out where to buy them." And nope, there's nothing on there except that.
Wow. Now, see, this is why I enjoy Mike being on the show so much, because he does that stuff. When he's not here, we would have never known that. But when he's here, he goes out and does that. And that's great. That's great. So, see, that's why we miss
silently,
you.
Silently researching stuff.
Yes, yes. That's why we miss you, because of stuff like that. That's great. Okay. Yeah. So thanks.
Okay. Oh, thank you. All right. And now back to the show.
Fake wines. I mean, we've talked about, I just mentioned, that new a new website that you can go to, winefraud.com. And I saw an article, and it was rather interesting. I'm not going to go through the whole thing with you because it's, really quite long. But it talks about an interesting point here. This is written September 15th by Erica Zimaski, I think that's how you pronounce her name, from the Palette Press, the online wine magazine. You want to check that out, palettepress.com. But it is, she said that scientists can do things like harvest bacteria from deep sea thermal vents and look very hard for dark matter miles under South Dakota. Surely they can find out if a wine is a fraud or not without opening the bottle. And they said that, she said, that moment of realization has happened. Now possible solutions are starting to show up. Most of them are okay, but not perfect. But are not enough to verify that the contents match the label. Gamma radiation detectors can tell you whether a wine that's supposed to be really old is. Wine produced before 1945, when humans started sending atomic bomb fallout up into the air, doesn't contain the radioactive isotope cesium-137. Wine made in 1945 or later does. Unfortunately, the method can't get more precise than that. So if you got an 1800 wine, then you can tell if it really is or if it's a new one just by checking, I believe it's pronounced cesium isotope, cesium, C-E-S-I-U-M, cesium-137. levels bounce around too much to be able to give you a specific year for that. Magnetic resonance imaging, the same technology as you use to check your back and all that other stuff. And also, it says a researcher used to visualize what parts of your brain light up when you're tasting wines with magnetic resonance imaging. Can detect acetic acid or vinegar in the bottle. That can help you decide whether the bottle is in good condition, but doesn't do much to verify authenticity. Those are just a couple ways to do it. Now, they said that using some kind of array or particle beam can possibly do that also. But, you know, maybe going to the cork. But then there's Coravin solution. And I mentioned that before, where you use a needle to extract a small amount of it by going to the cork. And once you pull out this small needle, the cork seals itself. And it's possibly could be for older bottles, fragile bottles, and you're not going to mess with the wine inside. But the cork is valued for its breathability. I know for years cork has been valued for its breathability. I was talking to a couple of people I respected very much about a cork breathing, and they corrected me and they said it does not. And I've always heard that it does, and then I see things like this where it does, wine bottled on the cork should be stored on the side so that it continues to be moist and all that. And the ulege, or the space, air space between the cork and the wine, increases as the bottles age. That means the cork will contain some of the wine, obviously, because it's evaporating through that. The sensible sounding idea occurred to a group of researchers, and they are applying a vacuum at the top of a well-preserved, tightly sealed cork for an hour or two to give them micrograms of wine vapors without damaging the cork or molesting the wine beneath. Then they subjected these tiny samples to 14C radioisotope dating. Now, this is the same carbon dating that you find in doing archaeological digs and stuff, how old something is by carbon dating. The basic principle behind radioisotope dating is that radioactive isotopes found in very small amounts in the environment decay into other particles at fixed rates. For example, the ancient papyrus will contain half as much 14C radioisotopes as it originally did at approximately 5,730 years after the papyrus plants used to make it grew out of the fertile Egyptian soil. Which, you know, might be a little bit, you know. Plants pick 14C up out of the atmosphere, and animals pick them up from plants. Knowing how atmospheric 14C levels have fluctuated over time, archaeologists and earth scientists can date once-living things back to about 50 millennia, which isn't really helpful to predicting a wine for the last 25 or 30 or 40 years, or actually 65, 70 years from 1945. So, the newer, more sensitive techniques can work with these tiny volumes from the cork, and then they can vacuum up out of the top of the cork. The massive amount of 14C released in these tests drops by half every 16 years, which makes it possible to match 14C counts to vintages. Okay, if you follow that. So that's what they're doing. They're taking the radioisotopes of carbon. 14C carbon is really what it is. And working to see years that way and checking to see if it really is that year. I mean, if you have yourself a 1948 Montan Rothschild and it's been replaced by a 2012 Temecula Valley Merlot, then, you know, it's going to tell you right away without opening up the bottle. But it's not perfect. Vacuuming works better on some corks than others. And if any residues from pre-treatments remain in the cork, they'll contaminate the wine sample and throw out the measurements. But these are small, so it doesn't, you know, what makes the procedure a little touchy. If the wine has been retouched at any point in its history, recorked or topped up with other vintages or anything like that, impossible to tell. That's it. That's the end of it. Another problem is that 14C bomb pulse from those atomic experiments that we were talking about is run out in about 15 years, at which point correlating 14C levels with precise years will become much more difficult. So in about 15 years, the procedure may be useless. But when it works, it's very, very good. They can pinpoint it almost exactly to the year and be able to tell you exactly what's in that bottle and what year it was put in that bottle. Combining different methods makes the number of wines a counterfeiter could exchange without detection very, very small. Also, artificially doping corks with a different wine than what's in the bottle likely isn't going to work. Deliberately soaked or injected corks read differently when they do the testing. The biggest challenge could be psychological. They're saying that scientists can dream up ingenious solutions all day that do absolutely nothing to prevent wine fraud. And radioisotopic dating requires an accelerator mass spectrometer. These are great big expensive machines, and they don't have ones that you can just go out and pump into your wine shops. You can test wines. Through contract facilities, you can run samples for like under $1,000. Now, that's just to run a sample on this great big accelerator mass spectrometer. Researching this piece, she said that she learned that a bit of liquid dated at a local facility for $539, though a very small sample would cost extra. When the bottle in question claims to be worth 10 or 100 times that, then maybe it might be worth it if you're really looking at purchasing it. So there you go. Carbon dating wine. Before 1945, you can tell simply by the if it's got, you know, fallout basically, but afterward, carbon dating, which I thought was very interesting. So another method, yet again, on how to detect a fraud in wine. It's becoming an increasingly complex thing. You hear about fraud all the time and all that's going on. Quick little article here that I saw: tannin in wine. What does tannin contribute to a wine? This is out of the Daily Sip, San Francisco Observation Post, from about 2 weeks ago, actually, the 16th of October. And it said tannin gets talked about a lot, but what does it contribute to the wine? It's a compound that comes from the stems, skins, and seeds of the grape. And because red wine is fermented with the grape skins, tannin is much more present in reds than there are in whites. Also, whites, you pull the skins off, so you don't have that too. So tannins basically are in red wines. There are some white wines where you can pick up a little bit of tannins, but it, more so in reds than you're going to get in any whites. The amount of tannin in a wine depends on the type of a grape, too. I mean, Cabernet Sauvignon has much more tannin than a Pinot Noir. But the amount of time the wine spends on the skin, and also oak barrels, if they're being used, can provide a small amount of tannin getting from oak barrels. But the amount of time on the skins is going to contribute it, too. The flavor of ripe tannin is a good kind of bitterness. And I don't like using bitter when I talk about wine, because basically it's just acid that you're picking up more than bitterness. But that little bite, I refer to it as. Like espresso, dark chocolate. Unripe tannin, which happens in grapes that they're picked before they are not fully ripe, is really unpleasantly bitter. You're going to pick up that little bite, that off bite in the back of your mouth. The filling of tannin is dryness, same as tea. I mean, really, tea is full of tannins. Black tea or any type of tea, but black tea particularly has a lot of tannins in it. Another unripe banana is another good example if you're not a tea drinker. An unripe banana, one that's not, when you bite into it, it's still rather hard. It's all green and rather hard. That's tannin you're biting into there. That's tannin that you're picking up there. So those are two good examples of tannin. But an early strong tannin is heavy black tea. Think of it that way. Tannin plays a pretty big role in the wines, in the red wines. Flavor, texture, structure, and ageability. And ageability is probably more than anything else. You get a wine with a whole lot of tannins, and the aging potential is a lot more than what you're going to find with ones that are with no tannins or low tannins. Structure, it's hard to define structure in a wine. I just people say, you know, what is structure? And that's, you don't want to say how fills in your mouth. Scaffolding of a wine is what I've heard, and I like that, but you need to understand, scaffolding, it gives it a support, it gives it something instead of just flabby. Also, the shape of the wine and how it defines the elements of the wine is all related. The tannins balance out with alcohol, with the acid, with the sugars, pH, everything is there with the tannins. It also contains elements that help age the wine. As the wine ages, the tannin slowly dissipates until it's balanced with everything else, and you have yourself a nice, soft, drinkable wine. I like tannin. I like the taste of tannin myself. I think it's fantastic, and I love a big, heavy, red, tannic wine that just, like, you blow out dust out of your mouth because it's so dry. Those are just fascinating and so interesting, and especially if you're having a steak or, you know, swordfish steak or something like that, blackened grouper, big, heavy tannic wine is just wonderful. Some of them I've had that have been totally overpowering of your food, though, which is just as distracting as, well, none at all in the red wine. Tannins will allow wine to survive for a long time and just give extra structure to it and flavors and taste. So tannins, what does it do? It actually helps the wine survive. It helps age it. It helps give a little bit of structure to it while it's young, and it helps age it and keep that structure in it as it gets older. I tell people at the winery, tannin, a good example would be tea. A glass of tea before you add any ice or sweetener to it, that's tannin you're tasting. People come in and say, I can't drink red wine, I'm allergic to the tannin. No, you're not. No, you're not. Never, ever has there been studies done, has there ever been any type of research or anything that has shown that tannins will cause headaches. So, and I tell people too, okay, well, if you're allergic to tannin, then have you ever had a glass of tea, and does that give you a headache? Well, most people say, yeah, well, that's no problem. Well, then it isn't tannin. So, tannin, I just wanted to share that with you. I saw that, and it was something that would be help you out a little bit here. One more thing before that Mike tell us about the event coming up this Saturday. One more thing I saw this. Now, this was interesting. A new study, and study show. I don't know if you read the comics, but I'm a big comics fan. I enjoy looking at the comics. I read them every morning in the paper. And there's I can't think of the name of the comic right now, but they have this little girl on there, Danny, who is prefacing a lot of the stuff she says by survey show, or survey say, and she says, survey show that if I watch TV before I do homework, then I retain more homework, and survey show, and she said that people just accept surveys because if they show, then that's so I saw this here and I had to chuckle. This is another survey. Study shows that wine will help you lose weight. Now everybody's out there cheering. I can hear it. Does a half bottle of red wine a day keep the weight away? Yeah, well, this is what happened. Harvard University followed 20,000 women over a course of 13 years and found that the wine drinkers were more likely to lose weight than non-drinkers. In fact, they said that the women who drank two glasses of red wine a day had a 70% reduced risk of obesity compared to those who did not drink in this study. 70% chance of reduced obesity. Red wine was shown to curb appetite, cut sugar cravings, and lower blood pressure. A 90 glass of wine also relaxes the drinker, meaning an earlier bedtime and less eating. Wow. Another study, this one by the Oregon State University, shows that red wine contains ellagic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C, ellagic acid, a fat-burning antioxidant that blocks the development of existing fat cells, stops the formation of new ones, and increases the liver cells' ability to break down excess fat. Wow. Everyone go out and buy yourself your bottles of red wine now. If calorie counters are still skeptical, here's another one for you. The National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism found that when alcohol is substituted for carbohydrates, calorie for calorie, subjects tend to lose weight, indicating that they derive less energy from alcohol than from food. Wow. Now, again, we have to give our little warning here. If you try this at home, remember, moderation is the key. Drinking too much wine at any time will have the opposite effect. So just because you want to lose a few pounds doesn't mean you can go out and start drinking red wine all the time. But the next time you start craving carbs or high sugar snacks or stuff like that, have a glass of red wine instead, and you got a better chance of losing weight than any other way. So, there we go. That's what I have to say for tonight, and the study shows that this, my part is over.
Is there a study for that?
There was a study.
Yeah, I was going to mention, and I don't know if this is the same type of filtering, but I read an article, and it came out, I don't know, a few days ago about Guinness, and I know that's a beer, but I don't know if you heard about this, but they are set to become vegan-friendly for the first time in its 256-year history as the company announced its plan to stop using fish bladders in its filters. Uh-huh. And I know, because we've talked about how, you know, during the process
fish bladders are used, yes.
Egg, you've used, in wine, you've used, don't you use the eggs also to, or egg,
egg
was
whites?
Egg whites,
egg whites we use, okay. Or Ingersoll, I think it's pronounced. The fish filters are, fish bladders are,
yes,
called Ingersoll.
Yes. Isinglass.
Okay. Or something. I always pronounce it wrong.
Yeah. So they're doing that, and, I was just reading some of the articles on that, but since 1759, and it says it's going to be installed sometime in 2016, and there's going to be a new filtration being used. They're not going to use fish bladders. So,
wow. No, I hadn't heard that. That is interesting. Yeah. You know, and, well, I suppose if, you know, you're really into full-fledged vegan, then that would be important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now they can enjoy the beer. So
that's
interesting.
Right.
Okay, let's see. This Saturday, I'll go back to the article here. This is going to be great. This is a special event you have. It's called Sip and Shop. That is November 7th, this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's kind of like on normally the day you have the Wine Fest, right? Or is it Wine Fest? I don't see it next weekend. Maybe it's
We do have it next weekend.
Now.
Regular Wine Festival next weekend. This is special for Guardian Ad Litem.
Yes, this is a huge event, and it's going to benefit, like you said, Guardian Ad Litem. Let's see, they are, I'm trying to figure out what, of Tampa Bay. They provide advocacy and support for abused, abandoned, or neglected children appointed to the Guardian Ad Litem program of the 6th Judicial Court. And let's see, the volunteers are a voice for the children in court, ensuring that all recommendations made to the court are in the child's best interest. And so this benefit is going to go towards them. You can come out Saturday, have a glass of wine, relax, and enjoy the sounds of Patrick Foy, and just enjoy the day. The weather's going to be perfect. Come on down and participate also in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have a little fun, and the tastings will be available with a souvenir glass for only $15, and 50% of that goes back to the organization. Let's see. Also, for every 25 cents for every glass of wine, and a dollar for each bottle sold goes to them. So come on out. There's also going to be a ton of vendors out there. It's going to be everything you can think about. Yeah, quite a bit here. You got all the handmade items, all the you know, some of the people that you've seen during the wine fest are going to be out there. There's going to be some cool vendors out there, so check them out. I just saw Pest Services, Scope Pest Services. I haven't seen them before. CNS, AC Services, there's going to be Carrie's Hot Dogs is going to be there. There's going to be Tupperware, Mary Kay, Pure Body Boot Camp is going to be out there. All the handmade makers out there that you've known and love are going to be out there. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm trying to get through some of these here. Custom Leather Goods, that's going to be out there. Gunner Leathers. And Dave is going to be there with handmade pens from Exotic Woods. Let's see, what else? Did I say Avon?
Yes.
Avon also. Maria with will have an Avon booth. So there's going to be a lot going on, and you want to check it out. Yeah, quite a few there. So come on out, enjoy the vendors, and shopping is always fun. And, you know, the holidays are right around the corner, so that's a good time to start is during an event, and it goes to a good cause as well. So check it out this Saturday, November 7th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Let's see. Also, the tip jar for this month is for Raffle Rescue, another great organization, and they frequent the events there at the winery. Yeah, go out to the winery and add a little something to the tip jar. It goes to a great cause. Last month, it was for Hernando SPCA. Collected over $200 for the organization, which is great. And so thank you for the donations and everything, and it goes to a great cause. And also, if you bring a donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue, you get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. Also upcoming in April, it's the second annual Woofstock for Pasco Animal Services. A big event last time, and repeating it again this time. That is in April. We'll give you more information on that when the time comes. But, yeah, really good stuff. I think that's all I have. So we'll see you. Enjoy the music this weekend and the great weather and everything at Florida State's Winery. For Sip and Shop, going to a great cause. So come on out. We'll just wait here until they show up.
We will. We will. We are standing by.
Yes, operators are standing by. Anyway, it's about 8:03, a little after 8 o'clock. I guess we'll go ahead and close the show for now, and we'll see you all next Thursday. Oh, I'm losing my voice. I didn't do any of the talking. Well, we'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and you all have a great week. Don't forget to drink plenty of red wine. You'll lose weight, but drink it in responsibly and in moderation. Don't chug it thinking, oh, look, I lost all this weight.
Look, I'm going to lose lots of weight. Go, 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 go.
The faster, the better, right? No. That's not what we're talking about. We'll see you all next. Where's my? I don't even have the show ending. There it is.
Y'all, happy Veterans Day, all of you vets out there. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Coming up on Wednesday, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you Thursday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.